How many ready to be lifted up? Okay, here she is, your co-pastor, the Reverend Dr. Cynthia.
Good morning. How's that for a little positive feedback? How's everybody? Happy Sunday. Welcome to the 11:30 service. Years ago, when I first came into this teaching at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, as it was then called, a friend of mine who dragged me there said, if you listen very carefully, you will notice that every Sunday lecture is about success. So I didn't agree with her at first, and week after week, I listened intently to what Dr. Kennedy Schultz was saying, and I just didn't get what she meant about success. Because I heard him talk about personal power and unconditional love and true happiness and perfect health. I heard him equate humankind with the divine. I heard him tell us that it was time to leave the past behind in order to live fully in the present moment. And I even heard him give us clear instructions on how to make our dreams come true. But I never heard him talk about success. But what I didn't know then that I do know now is that he was actually talking about prosperity across the board, because all good things fall into the category of prosperity. My friend called it success, but I really believe I can speak for her and say that what she meant to call it was prosperity. And there's a difference. See, success is about having things or achieving things that we can measure, whereas prosperity is about having everything, all things, every beautiful thing you can name in immeasurable quantity. That's the difference between success and prosperity. So let's pretend for a minute that it's 25 years ago, and I'm that friend, and you all are me. But I have to warn you, that means you're young and really gorgeous, okay?
As opposed to what?
I'm just saying, enjoy it while you can. We're going to go back in time 25 years. So I could easily say to you, every Sunday lecture at Center for Spiritual Living is about prosperity. It doesn't matter what the title is. It's about prosperity. Reverend Lacey's lesson this morning, who was here for the 9:30 service? Okay, it was entitled, Be All That You Can Be. But I was here and I heard every word, and that lecture was about prosperity, wasn't it? Reverend Andy even sang a song called I Am Prosperous leading up to the lecture. And you better believe when Reverend Lacey opens his mouth, that talk is about prosperity. Every Sunday lecture is about prosperity. It's about living fully in the good that is ours by divine birthright. As metaphysicians, this is what we are intended to do. So I tell you this morning that every talk is about prosperity because my title is Thanks and Giving. And when you leave here, I don't want you saying, that talk was about prosperity. She can't fool me. I looked at that title, and what she really talked about was prosperity. I'm admitting it right here and right now. We're talking about prosperity in the guise of thanks and giving. There is no reason in this world for us to attempt to create prosperity, none whatsoever. In fact, we don't even have the power to do this. I don't care what you've heard up until now. We do not have the power to create prosperity. It has already been created for us. Everything is already there. The power to create it belongs to one and one alone, and that one is God. Not us, God. God is the only creative power. Now, all the good we could ever dream of or desire or want or think we need, it's already there. It's already been created. We are surrounded by it, and it is absolutely unlimited. We are immersed in it. Deeply, profoundly. There is so much abundance around us that there is no way we can step out our front door without bumping into it. It would be like walking outside in the rain without an umbrella and trying not to get wet. It should be impossible to avoid, but at times we still manage to do this, don't we? And there's a simple explanation for that. If we are experiencing anything less than total opulence, there's a simple explanation for it. We have a block. It's just a block, okay? And that block is nothing more than a lack of receptivity. In the Science of Mind textbook, Dr. Ernest Holmes writes, the spirit can do for us only what it can do through us. Unless we are able to provide the consciousness, it cannot make the gift. What does that mean? See, we cannot create prosperity, but we do have the power to attract it. We have the power to attract unlimited, infinite good into our personal experience, into our real life, into our actual world. And this is our aim. We don't want to talk about it or just see others enjoy it. We want it in our own lives now. We can do this. We have the technology. And that technology is called thanks and giving. Thanks and giving. When I was a little girl growing up in Italy, I was trained to say thank you to everything. Everything. And probably you were too, but maybe some of you weren't whacked in the head with a ruler when you forgot by the nuns, right? But either way, no matter how, most of us are trained to say thank you to everything because it's polite. So I was very deliberate about it because I didn't want to get whacked with the ruler. What a pretty dress, thank you, or che bel vestito, grazie. You're so smart, che intelligente, grazie. And then there's the dreaded cheek pinch, you know, how the Italians do, they just say, che bella bambina, grazie. You know, what I really want to do is kick that person in the shins and run away, right? But no, I just have to say thank you. But today, we are not talking about etiquette at all. This is the good news. We're not talking about etiquette. I'm not saying don't use good manners. We should always use good manners. But today's lesson is not a lesson in manners. It's a lesson in technology. We're going to come back to this term over and over again. The word technology comes from the Greek technologia, which simply means systematic treatment. That sounds like our type of prayer, doesn't it? Systematic treatment. That's the definition of technology. So here in this teaching, as metaphysicians, we use gratitude deliberately and systematically. We consciously employ thankfulness to provide ourselves with the objects of our desire. Now remember, these objects have already been created. What we have to do is pull them into our experience. And this is where receptivity comes in. Receptivity is key to having what we want in life. Gratitude in the science of mind sense, again, it's not about being polite or having good manners or doing what's socially correct. It's scientific. Gratitude is a scientifically proven principle. This is why it is a key step in our treatments, our affirmative prayers. When we pray to the God of our understanding, we're not asking him, in quotes, to give us anything. We are declaring what we know to already be true. Gratitude is the part where we recognize this openly and deliberately. It is impossible, you've heard me say this before, it is impossible to be at once grateful for something and repel it. When we say, I am grateful for the good that is already mine, we open ourselves to a newer, greater, deeper level of receptivity. When we say thank you, we're inviting the good in by establishing ourselves in a consciousness of receptivity, which is exactly what gratitude does. Last week when I was editing the radio program, I heard my dear husband say, "The world does not act upon us. Law acts upon our belief." He comes up with some pretty good stuff, huh? The world does not act upon us. Law acts upon our belief. So how do we apply this idea to receptivity? Well, if we look at our lives and anywhere see lack or limitation, then we can probably surmise that something is going on, something that's less than prosperity thinking, okay? But we cannot justifiably claim that the world is withholding from us. It is incorrect to say the world is withholding from me. No one can withhold anything from us. The correct terminology to use would be, law is acting upon my belief. Apparently, my belief includes some idea of lack or limitation. Therefore, it's demonstrating. My idol, Emma Curtis Hopkins, says, look at your world. Observe what's going on in your conditions. This is the exact record of your belief, of your thoughts. So if you look at your world and you observe lack or limitation, there's something going on in your thoughts. If our beliefs have included some idea of lack or limitation. Up until now, we can change this. We can change it right here. We can change it in this moment. See, law will say yes to whatever we try to create. Law will act upon our beliefs. It doesn't care what they are. And we talk about this infinite intelligence in the universe, but come to think of it, it has a very limited vocabulary, doesn't it? In fact, God only knows one word. What is it?
Yes.
And that one word is the most important word in our experience. This is really good news for us. Yes, yes, yes. No matter what we believe, God says yes. It says yes to everything because that's the only word it knows to say. So, if your beliefs have, up until now, included some idea of lack or limitation, let's shift that. We can shift it. If your beliefs have included abundance and prosperity, that's wonderful. And you know what? Right here and right now, let's increase that. Because it only gets better. It's always growing, and it should always be eclipsing itself. The only thing better than good is more good. So we start by being thankful. Again, not for the sake of manners, but for the sake of our receptivity. An attitude of gratitude says, I am receptive. Divine law receives the message, I am receptive, and it immediately is set in motion toward the demonstration of our good. I am receptive. Receptivity is the key to this. Thanks is only one approach, though. It's two-pronged. Our technology has two parts, thanks and giving. We've talked about thanks. Giving is the other. How many of you were at the Harvest Dinner the other night? Wasn't it wonderful? Now, that was thanks and giving in demonstration. We started out by appreciating our wonderful, beautiful space and our beautiful, loving spiritual family, thanking the volunteers, and recognizing our major donors. And then we did our pledges over dinner, which was a wonderful gift. And so we have thanks and we have giving. And I understand now we have a third component to the Harvest Dinner, and it's being called the after party. A large time was had by all, apparently. I'm a morning person, so I wasn't here, but I hear told there was dancing and music and karaoke into at least the midnight hour right here in our sanctuary. I can still sort of feel that energy. So we have the after party. I can see now next year people coming in at 10 o'clock. Oh, I'm not here for the dinner. I'm just here for the after party. But it's all good, and it's all celebration, and it's all appreciation and thanks and giving. Giving is generosity in demonstration. And as human beings, we are naturally inclined to give, to be generous. It is our way. We're created that way. And doesn't it feel wonderful? I love to be generous. In fact, I often say, when I'm generous with the world is generous with me. And I've been thinking about that statement recently, and I'm thinking I need to revise it a little bit, because in truth, the world is generous with me no matter what I do, whether I'm generous or not. The world is always generous with me. The difference is that when I am consciously generous, I activate my receptivity. And this is what I want you to get from today's lecture. If you take away one idea, it's that of activating your receptivity. The law of reciprocity is always operating in the universe. It's never still, it never sleeps. It is always operational. So when we give, we can't give without receiving. This is the law. For all that you give, you receive. Every time you receive, the natural thing to do is give again. This is reciprocity in action. So when we give, we create a void. But that void is not an empty space that remains vacant for some period of time. When we give, thereby creating this void, the instant this happens, the instant that space is vacant, Spirit rushes in to fill it, and the filling is not quid pro quo. Spirit does not give back what we give. It gives back even more. It overflows. Has anybody ever lost weight only to gain it back plus a few pounds? Only two people. I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all. Okay, if I raise my hand, does that... Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. This is how God works, but in a very healthy, positive way, right? We give and we get all that back plus some more on top of it. This is the overflowing part. This is the pressed down and running over part we talk about in this teaching all the time. So whatever we give, it comes back to us multiplied abundantly, exponentially. Raise your hand if you've had this experience. Yes, it's a law. It's scientifically proven. There's no other way it can be. It increases every time. And so our receptivity must also increase in order to hold the extra good, the overflowing, the pressed down, the exponential. The receptivity has to increase, and then we give again. And so we are in this positive pattern of our receptivity also exponentially increasing. And when the receptivity increases, then by extension, the good we experience increases, and so it goes. How many of you like to give, love to give, enjoy giving? Everybody. To whom do you enjoy giving the most? Give me a shout out. Yeah. So pretty much everybody you love and the places that are important to you. Sometimes people in need, right? It feels really, really wonderful to give. I love to give, and I love to feel like I'm being generous. So when we start fine-tuning our understanding of prosperity, we look more closely at the actual mechanism of reciprocity, of receptivity. And it's not a math class, it's a spirit class. But it's wonderful to have these principles that are proven and they work, so we know how to use them. We know how to put them in place. Here's a formula. Use it. So as I, in my own life, am looking at fine-tuning all kinds of things, my workouts, my food plan, the hours I sleep, my work, I'm fine-tuning in all kinds of places. I'm also fine-tuning my consciousness, and I'm really looking at fine-tuning my prosperity consciousness. And one of the ways I'm doing that is this thing called modeling generosity. And I want to credit our wonderful treasurer, who is also my student, Elizabeth Morris, with coming up with that verbiage. I love the way she phrased that, modeling generosity. How many of you received the prosperity email that I send out mostly on a weekly basis? And how many of you actually read it? And how many of you who read it actually enjoy it? Now, if you don't receive it, I want you to know there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Please put your name and your email address, and I would love to share it with you. It comes through Constant Contact. If you don't like it, you can always cancel, and I don't even know that you've canceled, so it doesn't hurt my feelings. It goes out to a couple of hundred people. Part of what I do in that is share with you how much I give if we have a so-called shortage that week, above and beyond my pledge, my tithe. And sometimes I'll say, I'm going to give an extra $200. Can anybody match me? Or if everybody receiving this email would give an extra $10, that would be a wonderful thing. And I'm going to give $300. I'll pay for 30 people just to get the ball rolling. So I'm open with what I give because I am buying into Elizabeth's notion of modeling generosity. We can model any positive behavior and it benefits other people because until we do, others may not understand that they can do what we're doing and more. My darling husband is fond of saying, once you prove something, you've just proven everyone can prove it, right? Now, that's twice I've quoted him. Yeah, Jim says that's enough. But think about climbing Mount Everest, for example. Until the first person did it, I believe in 1924, it may never have occurred to other people that they could climb a mountain almost 30,000 feet tall. And since then, somewhere around 1,500 climbers have embarked on 2,000 successful climbs. And we're talking about people from all walks of life. In 2001, the first blind man made it to the top. In 2003, a 70-year-old man reached the summit. At that time, he was the oldest person to make it to the top of Mount Everest. In 2003, a couple climbed up there and got married. So the next thing you know, Center for Spiritual Living ministers are going to be climbing Mount Everest and doing weddings. Dar is shaking her head no, but you know what? I can see me and Reverend Dar and Reverend Lacey and Reverend Mary Jo and Dr. J racing to the top to get that $250 honorarium. I think we're going to have to charge a lot more for weddings on the top of Everest. But it will happen. In our lifetime, a couple will climb with their minister to the top of Mount Everest because other people have done it, and now they know they can. This is about stretching beyond perceived boundaries, and every time we do this, we encourage others by our example. When we do it, we say to them without saying anything, you can do this too. I had this experience on Friday. I was in my spin cycling class, and the Friday instructor never turns the air on, and it gets really hot in there, and she's very challenging, but it's a fantastic class. So I'm on my bike. We're about halfway through the class, and I usually do sweat, but I look down, and my sweat has dripped on the floor, which is really gross, and this doesn't really happen to me that much. Usually it's the men, but here I am. I'm sweating on the floor, and there's this terrible, terrible song playing, and I'm thinking, oh, I hate this song, and she's saying, you have to break your highest ever RPMs, and I'm thinking, I have almost died getting to 143, and now she wants us to go higher. So I'm running and running and running and running on my pedals, and I get to 154, and there's this terrible song, and I hear the lyric all of a sudden, clear as a bell, and it says, you're not living unless you're giving. You're not living unless you're giving. And at that point, I was able just to kick it in even a little bit faster. And the woman next to me is looking at me, and then she starts going faster. And the two of us both bested our personal best. It was absolutely wonderful. And I couldn't get that lyric out of my head afterwards. You're not living unless you're giving. Now, most of us here are already giving. And many of us are giving a lot, a lot. But even at that, I want us to ask ourselves today, not should I give, because for no one here, the question is not should I give. We're doing that. We have that down. But the new question to ask ourselves is, where can I give more? How can I give more? To whom can I give more? Regardless of what's going on in my own life, how can I give more? To whom can I give more? Where can I give more? There are a lot of people in the world right now, and even people in our own congregation, who are experiencing financial challenges. I don't want to ignore the fact that this is true. And I will openly admit that 2009 has not been the easiest year for me in that regard. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? The only thing I know to do, the only way I know to deal with this, is just to keep on giving in every way I can. My love, my energy, my money, my time, my attention, my energy, my effort, all of that. And I'm pretty good about doing this, and I observe myself, and I'm pleased, but I also notice that at times I'm very generous with my judgment and my criticism and my nagging. Everybody recognizes that laugh. And it's the darndest thing. No matter how generous I am in any area of my life, what I give comes back to me multiplied abundantly. When I give of my time and my love and my money, it comes back. When I give of my nagging and my judgment and my criticism, it comes back from places I never even expected on both sides. So I'm fine-tuning. I'm looking at how to focus more of my generosity in the positive and not so much on the criticism and the judgment. Everybody would be happy to know that, I'm sure. But I want to keep giving, and I keep asking myself, where, how, and to whom can I give more? No matter what, no matter what the so-called economy looks like, no matter what my checkbook balance looks like, no matter how tired I think I might be, or how overwhelmed, or how many deadlines I have, no matter what. Because what happens when I kick it in and I say yes to more, more happens. It happens because law is behind me all the way. So this is my advice to anyone who wants to improve their financial condition or any condition. Keep giving. If you're not giving already, you must start right now. You start by thanking. You look at your life and bless every aspect of it. You openly give thanks for what you already have, no matter how small that may appear, because in the mind of God, there is no measurement. You say, thank you for all I have. And then you reach out to someone somewhere and you give something. Okay? It doesn't have to be this center, but it needs to be someone somewhere. Be proactive. Reach out and give some of your time, some of your money, and some of your love to somebody somewhere. Do that this week. I charge you with this to go out this week and give something. Give more than you're already giving somewhere. If you commit to initiating this action, I guarantee you, you will see a return in no time at all. And I can make this guarantee because I witness it in my own life every day. I'm not talking to you about theory. I am talking to you about the actual practice of the principle of reciprocity in our lives. When I give an inch, the universe gives me a mile. Every time, over and over and over again, it never fails. So let's revisit the claim I made earlier. Prosperity already exists everywhere in the universe. Yes? Do I have agreement? Okay, very good. We are surrounded by it and we are immersed in it. If we want to enjoy it firsthand, we must increase our level of receptivity. Yes? Okay. Excellent students, one and all. Dr. Holmes again, Science of Mind textbook. Spirit is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. It is not a question of its willingness or its ability. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity. Truer words were never written. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity and whether we are willing to increase it. The time is now. We can do this. We have the technology. It's called thanks and giving. And it's absolutely wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. Thank you, thank you. And know that today is the perfect day, the perfect day in which we recognize our source, the source of all life, all love, all good, the essence of everything seen and unseen. And this source, this essence, is alive and well and thriving in us. It is our power. It is our life. It gives rise to our thoughts and gives substance to the demonstration of those thoughts. It is everything we are and everything we are becoming. So right here and right now, I invite everyone to open up in receptivity more than ever before, to expand our consciousness as individuals and as a collective, knowing as we move into the season of gratitude that thankfulness is foremost in our thought, and that we use this thankfulness on our own behalf and for the good of others as well and the good of our world. We use it as a tool to increase our receptivity. All the good of the universe has already been created. It's right there in front of us, waiting for us to partake of it, waiting for us to say, yes, yes, this is mine, and to revel in it. And as we do, as we step out into the more, we view our world from a higher place, from that place of gratitude. And every time we do this, it just gets better. And from this place of gratitude, we give, and we give. We give our love, our energy, our money, our talent, our time, our attention, our energy. And all we give comes back to us increased, so that we participate in this never-ending cycle of good. I am so grateful in this moment for this knowing. I am thankful for this teaching that spells out the truth of who we are. I am so thankful for this place, our spiritual family, our spiritual home that nourishes us. And for all of this, I give thanks and more thanks. And as we go away from this place today, each of us is on our own path, but we walk it together in the company of others, for we are all one, one in the one. This is the truth. I release it now to the law of mind, and just let it be so. And so it is.